We need to realize we are in a battle. And because we are in a war. And I want to emphasize that. It's hard to teach on this because you can get in a rut on each side of the road. Sometimes churches, it's just all talking about how positive things are and faith things are. And that's legit. But I'm a big believer, you need to know what's going on in the world so you know how to apply your faith and what it is. On the way out, on the left side is a fire banner that Tiffany did years ago. On it, it says, slow down, Craig. My brain is going about five times faster than my tongue. All right, the Lord help me get it in sync here so that it makes sense. And so, it says on there, we want to train you to be the spiritual equivalent of the Delta Force. Now, there's many special forces in the military. You got the Green Berets, you got the Rangers, you got the SEALs. I'm sure I left some of them out, but there's one specific called the Delta Force. I'm not going to teach on that tonight. I've taught on it in the past. You can go to CraigBCooper.com, and there's just type in the search bar Delta Force. You'll find a whole article written on it. And so that's what the Lord said we are. That's the smallest of the special forces. It's also the most intellectual in the sense of training. You have to have high IQs to be in the spirit, in the physical Delta Force plus the physical training. Because they would often go in before the special forces. I mean, you know, some of this gives and takes. To do recon, to do understanding of what's happening so that the rest of the special forces can come in and so that the rest of the army can come in after that. You have to be smart, well-trained. You have to know your purpose. You have to know your assignment. And so that's what it is here about the church. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to encourage you. But also, we need to know what we're up against to do the recon so that we can defeat what is going on in the earth. Because I tell you, Jesus' kingdom is growing. It's been growing ever since he was on the earth 2,000 years ago. The kingdom has been growing. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is us living out the king's principles in our world around us. It's that simple. With his power, with his presence. But Satan's kingdom is growing too. And because it's just a battle and a clash for the ages. Will Jesus' kingdom ever overcome Satan's kingdom? Yes. You can read Revelation. It starts shifting in Revelation 19, 20, 21, and 22. And eventually his kingdom wins. But between now and then, it's not just going to be a clash of the kingdoms in 2024. It's going to get worse and worse and worse between now and when Jesus' kingdom overcomes. That's what Revelation says. And so I want us to be well-trained to recognize the enemy, to know how to overcome the enemy. And it's not, and I'm going to get real practical, I'm going to get real specific, so that we can help free people to switch kingdoms. And so you'll have to put on your intellectual caps as we walk through this. And then at the end, if you have questions or comments or discussions, we'll do that. But right now in America, if you can go to that. So we're going to talk about today about prepare for war. It'll be several more weeks. I don't know. The Lord keeps adding to this, so it may be all year. But if you go to that second slide, that's the next one down. In America right now, let me read this verse to you. Ecclesiastes 4:12 comes up with a principle. It's right in the middle of all this conflict and chaos, and you can read around it in Ecclesiastes. But in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says this, though one person may be overpowered by another, two people can resist one opponent. Two on one is better. But it's even better when you have a three-stranded rope is not easily broken. The devil has set up three strands of demonic ideas and demonic thoughts in America. And that is what our, this is what, I'm going to go through and talk about this. But this is what our country is, believes and is walking in. And you as a Christian, if we're walking in these three things, so as we go through this, go, am I thinking this way? You got to realize that is not God's thinking. That is demonic thinking. Now, they don't call it demonic thinking. They call it progressive thinking. They call it smart thinking. They call it the way to live. They call it intellectual thinking. It has been pseudoscienced up. It's been intellectually up. But it is killing our country because it's demonic thoughts. Why? Because it's opposite of what kingdom's thoughts are. So I bring this out not to be negative, but so that we're wise. And in a gentle way, with the power of God, we want to look for ways to change people. To change people permanently, first they need to repent of their sins and become a Christian. But that does not change their behavior. That just gets them into to heaven. To change your behavior, you have to line your behavior up with the principles of His kingdom. And so the first step there is you got to realize the principles, ways, philosophies, ideas that you're living under so that you don't think that way anymore, so you know what to change. You'll follow me? So the first one here is, let me read to you first, 1 Chronicles 12:32, because I want this to be over this house. From Issachar's descendants, Issachar was a group of the Israelites, subgroup. There were 200 leaders out of this group who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. The hope of America and the hope of the world, I guess right now we're the hope of Northwest Georgia. I'm not trying to be the hope of America. But the hope of Northwest Georgia, you have to know what to do. And to know what to do, you have to understand what's going on. So that's why I'm hitting on these things. And we'll walk through these. Because I don't want us to be dumb. There are too many dumb Christians. And when I mean dumb, not smart, they're believing dumb things. Even though they're going to heaven. You can be going to heaven, but it doesn't change your biblical, your worldview. It doesn't change your viewpoint. You can go to heaven with all the wrong viewpoints, but you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and that gets you in. That's good. That's better than not being saved. But we want to be saved, smart, understand, not dumb, so that we can tell other people in a good way, not an arrogant way, which direction to go and what to do. So there's a guy, this isn't going to be a history lesson. If you want to know more, you can go Google it. There's a guy named Sigmund Freud who's dead. He was a psychologist. He knows better now. He was terrible. And for a long time, psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists all follow the Sigmund Freud way. I heard one guy recently say that's well trained on this. He goes, "When I look back, I don't think anybody got any help from Sigmund Freud's therapies." Although that's all they taught for a long time. So what did he teach? He taught that everybody is a victim. Victim of their environment, victim of how they were raised, victim of their experiences, and especially parents. If you dig into Sigmund Freud, you realize he hated the family. Does this sound like America? Everybody's a victim of something. And we blame where we're at on our victimhood. Now, we have to be understanding of this. Bad things happen to us. Bad things happen to us in our childhood. Bad things happen to us now. All of that. And many of those things, we are a victim because we couldn't keep it from happening. So where's the fine line here? The fine line is where we blame our progress. We don't make progress forward because we're always looking back and saying, "I can never get there." That is America. The answer is not to blame our past. We recognize our past. And some of us have had terrible pasts. I'm not denying that. But this is the thing. Is Jesus Christ and the cross and His power with the Trinity and the Holy Spirit, are they big enough to reverse any bad circumstances you had? Amen. If not, listen to me. I counsel people. And in their actions, they will say what we just said, but in their life, they give in and say, it's never going to change. I'm a victim. So what are they doing? They're saying with their mouth one thing, but in their actions of another, they are going, my circumstances are a bigger God than God. He's not big enough. So what you need to do, if you think you can't get over your circumstances, you need to stop following God because He's worthless. And He's powerless. And He's wimpy. We have to come to a place or a realization, okay, I've been through these things. Some of them were done by others. Probably a good portion of them, I did them to myself. And I say, Father, some of this really hurts. Some of this was not fair, and it was not fair. I'm not downplaying any of that. But Father, I believe if You're God, bring me some crackers. If You're God, I pray that You will show me how not to have a victim mentality, but a victor mentality. The kingdom is one of being a victor, not because you're that good, but because He's that good. And all it takes is not a lot. It's like that last song. All it takes is a little faith. And you turn to the Father and you ask Him for His mercy and say, it looks like I can never get from point A to point B because this or that. But I want to go to point B, to point C. Teach me how to be a victor. Teach me how to get there. That is a kingdom value. He is bigger than any environment or any experience. Now, if you're a victim, you can see this in America. They're bitter. This whole country is bitter. If you listen to people, we're the most messed up, crazy, never had a chance country. If that's the case, why is the whole world trying to get into this place? And they are right now. See, it's a mentality has come in with you and said, He's wanting to steal from you what the cross is available to you for. And so we have to make a mindset. Maybe you can't get there on your own. I agree with that. But you can get there when you humble yourself before the Lord. It says, and I will come in and heal your land. What's your land? Your heart. Your family. Maybe your land if you want crops to grow on it. I don't know. So don't be bitter. Say, Father, with Your help, I can be better. Am I overstating this in America? Hopelessness is everywhere. Despair is everywhere. Suicide is everywhere. Lack of meaning is everywhere. Why? Because we have been taught that our circumstances are bigger than us and we're never going to get out of it and move. We can give story after story, all of you have in here, that if we'll start turning to Jesus, He can move us from a victim to a victor. And this is a big deal. Our government encourages the victim mentality, especially the federal government. I hate to be so blunt, but it's the truth. Why? Because they want to have control over your life. They want to be your God. They want to supply your needs. They want to supply everything for you. What they'll do is they'll keep you at minimal substance level, but you're under their control. You will never prosper. I've gotten unemployment many times. I'm not against government many times, three times. I'm not against government helping. But if you stay there, you will never really prosper. And they're the provider in your life instead of God. Well, I can't do it on my own. Yeah, you can. I can't get there on my own. Yeah, you can with Jesus. We can all give stories here, can't we? Of where we were. And if we believe in Him, He will take you there. So don't let this demonic Sigmund Freud popularized it, but it's been all through history. Cain and Abel goes all the way back to the first brothers. Cain never repented of killing Abel. He had an excuse. Listen to me. We fall a lot. We're not perfect. We fail. I get that. But own up to it. Say, all right, I did this. I'm not sure why. Maybe I needed more training. Maybe I need more self-control. Maybe I need more discipline. That's the first step to becoming a victor. He can work with you because you're moving. But if we pass off the blame, which is in all of Christianity, because we're Americans and we're more Americans than we are Christians in terms of living. I know I'm being tough, but we're being Delta Force here. We ain't going to be no wimps. Amen. I love Revelation 21. I don't really love it. But the first in Revelation 21, it's right before Jesus Christ comes back. And he gives this long list of people that won't make it into the kingdom. Adulterers, homosexuals, liars, all kinds of stuff. You know what the first thing is in that list? Cowards. Most of my life is the church. My life is Jesus, but my assignment's the church. Most of the church in America are cowards. They will not stand up to evil. They will not talk about evil. There was a big pastors' conference a couple weeks ago. They were telling all these pastors, don't talk about politics. Don't talk about the issues of the day. Where abortion, trans, sexuality is not politics. It's morality. Amen. It's things of life that we have made political. Amen. I'm telling you, if pastors do that, they're cowards. They're not training their people to make a difference in the world. We're not just here to survive, we're here to thrive. We're not here just to endure, but to enjoy. Because I want to exit this place with it better in my watch, in your watch, than it was when we came. Y'all with me? Boy, we're never going to get through this at this rate. The second one is Marxism. A guy named Karl Marx, his teachings did not teach communism, but the communist movement took his teachings and took it to the nth extreme of communism that has been a terrible blight on the world with Stalin, Mao, and China. We're not going to go on all into that, but it's just terrible. Marxism is huge in America right now. You're not seeing it play out in the same way of communism. But what Karl Marx is this, is we all are to be the same in everything. Now, with communism, they made it about economics. All get make the same amount of money. And they did. They were all poor. Except the very high rich. They exploited it. But Marxism's ideas was we're all the same. We should all get the same in everything, the same opportunities in everything. Does this sound like America? In America, they're trying to bring in these principles with issues of race. That's a whole other discussion. But there's some things that need to be fixed there. I'm not saying that. But the answer is not sameness. This is a principle. Again, Karl Marx hated his father. Hated family. This philosophy of sameness is all through our schools and country. We all should have not just equal opportunity, which we've sort of had, maybe not in some areas of race, but we're trying to correct that, but equal outcome. That's what communism is trying to do. Let me tell you, God is not a Marxist, and he's not into equal outcome. Abraham was a guy that was rich beyond all measure. And it talks about people around him, his servants. He sent his servants out to get a wife for his son. They weren't rich. This is what God does. He's not interested in equal outcome. He's going, you have been created with a calling, and he will give you whatever you need to fulfill your calling. It's a big difference. Reinhard Bonnke was a great evangelist, one of the greatest evangelists we've had on, at least since the first century. Okay? If you don't know him, you can learn about him. He died recently. What he had to have for his crusades were millions of dollars because he had millions of people come in. I've never gotten millions of dollars in this ministry. Why? That's not our calling. We don't need millions of dollars. Does God favor him more than me? No. D. Did he do something different or better? Is he got an opportunity I didn't have? Because he got millions and I didn't. See, that is Marxist thinking. Somebody's going to have to be thinking on this for a week. I've got what I need for the calling on my life. Whether it's millions or thousands or hundreds. That's not how he works. He's working to move his kingdom, and in this area, it doesn't take as much money. But I can become a victim and go, Father, what are you doing with him? He's getting millions and I'm getting thousands. Yeah, but he's also, to him who much is given, much is required. What does that mean? I gave him millions, he better use it well. And I gave you thousands, and you better do it well, because there's some people I've given hundreds, and they're looking at you. So what you do is don't look. This is a demonic lie of equality of outcome. It's all through America. It's in everything. It is not. Listen to me. You may be struggling. That's fine. You go off and study, and we talk about it, and maybe I'll get some points I hadn't seen before. This is not how God works. When you look through Matthew through Revelation, he gave different things to different people who were responsible for different things because their callings were different. It has nothing to do with their walk with God. Some of the most anointed, best communicating, best character pastors I've seen are in small churches. Why are they there instead of big churches? I don't know. But see, that's a Marxist mentality. The quality. Are y'all with me? Y'all hanging with me? Sounds like your eyes are starting to turn. Let me say this. When you walk with God, each of you have a purpose. That's one of the prepare fors. Maybe we'll get to it someday. The purpose requires resources and a plan. The plan for your life is going to be different than everybody else. The resources for that plan, it's not resources for you. Directly, I mean, he's going to make sure you get eat and you got a house and all that stuff, place to live. But these resources are for not your plan, for his plan. I counseled a leader this week, and he said, I'm trying to figure out my dream. I'm trying to figure out my vision. I'm trying to figure out what God wants for my life. That's what I told him. I said, just stop. That doesn't work. It's never worked for me. I doubt it'll work for you. He said, what do? I say, go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is your plan? What is your vision for this area that I live in that I can help you with? If you're doing his plan, it's going to be funded. Funded emotionally, funded physically, funded financially. So I get it. God in his mercy gives us stuff. And we go, I got a vision, I got a plan. But if it's God, it's really his, and he's just letting you help him. Number three, are y'all hanging here with me? This is college level. This is when Paul said, I have to keep feeding you milk because you can't handle meat. This is meat. But if you'll start thinking about it and digesting on it, look at the victim versus the victor, equality versus calling, you'll start seeing this in people and you'll start helping people because you'll see people that are bitter because of what's happened in their past, or bitter because they're not getting what somebody else gets. Get over it. I hate to be so blunt, but God is not obligated to give us something that he's given to somebody else, because to whom much is given, much is required. They have to have an outlet and a plan for that. Y'all followed me? It's tough talk, but you're part of the Delta Force. Amen? So Marxism in this country is leading to greed and envy like I've never seen. Everybody wants what everybody else has. I look at TikTok, maybe some. I look at Facebook, maybe some. Mostly just John Freeman stuff. I go see what he's doing, then I get off. Why? Comparison leads to envy. So be careful. Why don't I have that? Because I live in a Marxist country that says we all should have the latest $350 Nike shoes. Why? Because I saw it on some unbeliever over here. God owes it to him. No, he doesn't. Stay close. That sign in the lobby says, live close. Stay close to Him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added to you. What's all these things? Things to live out His kingdom assignment for you. If you need $350 pair of Nikes, I don't even know if they make that expensive of shoes. They do. But you, if you need $350 Nikes, what? It'll work out. If you don't need it and want to save up for it, go for it. It's your money. But you saved up for it and went after it. You decided to spend it on that instead of Japanese denim jeans for $350. Have you seen those? That's all the rage. 1 year waiting list. Obviously, I don't have any of those.
You deserve it.
So good.
We all
need $350 jeans. And I don't have a problem with $350 jeans, okay? That's not the issue. If you want to spend your money on it, fine. But the envy and the greed, you've really got to watch. Social media does not help. I remember years ago when Susan and I were much poorer than we were now. We were in Augusta, newlyweds. We were there 8 years before we moved here. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any kids. So we'd go look at furniture stores. But, you know, when you're young, we just got a basic house. And we just like walking through furniture stores. The problem is we went to the wrong furniture stores. Instead of, you know, the cheap ones, we would go to the ones that sell Ethan Allen and Henry Don, which a dining room table set's like $10,000 even back then. And we worked through these things. I had to stop. Because I was no longer happy with the build-yourself bookcase from Walmart for $29. That was made out of pressed paper. And somehow or another, you stay around that, it starts creating equal calling. I just saw somebody buy a whole set. I should be able to buy a whole set. Well, do you have the money? No, then maybe it's not God. So you have to be careful. When you go to the mall, be careful. It's all right to dream. It's all right to look for this or that. I mean, I have some expensive stuff, not a $10,000 dining room table. But you get my point. It's all good. But don't think because somebody else has it. But it's all right to believe for it. It's all right to reach out there for it. But just keep in mind, God. All right, I need to move on. I don't know what time I started. It's been about 30 minutes. Number three, three-stranded cord in America, victim versus victor, equal versus calling, Charles Darwin, evolutionist. Survival of the fittest. So you can believe you evolved from a one-cell amoeba all the way up to some chimpanzee, gorilla, and somehow or another we jumped over to humans. That's what's taught, right? So let me tell you, if you believe that, and most Christians believe in evolution, I mean, that's a fact. You can, and listen to me, this is harsh, but we're punching through this. We're getting rid of dumb thinking. If you believe that, you are not created in the image of God. You are not special. You do not have His DNA. Well, I believe all that, but I believe in evolution. How? He decided to create you through a chimpanzee first? Is there any chimpanzees in heaven? I know this is harsh, but we got to break this stupid nonsense. And most people do not believe in creation. This is Christians, because they want to appear scientific. This is the science. There is not one single proof for evolution. I'm not going to do an apologetics teaching here, but there's none. There's no, they talk about the missing link. Why? Because it's missing.
It will stay missing.
Now, on the flip side, they can find some circumstantial evidence for evolution, but it's extremely small. I have studied this, you can't imagine how much, starting as a student, engineering student at Georgia Tech 40 years ago. On the flip side, there's no direct proof for creation. But there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. So you have to pick the theory. But this is the biggest theory. You believe in evolution? You are not special. You're just a smart ape. It's the truth. You're a little bit more evolved. And you don't have as much hair. Especially me. So if you buy into that, maybe you don't understand the science, maybe you don't know the arguments, and you can learn it. Maybe we'll do a class here sometime. It's fun. I used to teach it a lot. Why is the devil pushing these lies out there? It's to destroy you. You're just a victim. You can't help yourself. You will never experience the power of God. You will never experience overcoming victory. You will never experience all the promises He has for you. You'll just be envy, jealous, and you'll never, with envy and jealousy, you can never get into your own calling. So it's to steal your future. It's to steal your present. It's to steal your future. It's to enshrine the past before you know Jesus Christ. You are created in His image. You are not a primate evolved. Many, many scientists, I mean, you can go find this stuff. There are many, many, I'm talking a huge percentage, like 50% or more, that do not believe in evolution. They believe at least in what's called intelligent design, which maybe I don't believe in a God that I can know personally, but there's something that was intelligent that designed us. Well, why don't I hear about it anymore? Because demonic people are in charge of their funding. Demonic people are in charge of their tenure at colleges, and they're afraid. But there's going to got to be a movement rising up of those that aren't walking in fear, who are not walking in coward. I can't explain everything, but I'm created in His image, and I look like Him. What we did earlier about listening to Him, if you believe in Darwinism, why are you wasting your time? Did somewhere between the chimp and you get the ability to hear from God? Or do chimps hear from God? Okay, I'm sort of making light of this, but sometimes you have to make light of it to punch through the craziness of it. I'm not trying to put any one person down, but I am trying to put down some ideas. Because the Lord really wants us to evolve. And so we are fighting these three. Man, I was going to be so much further along, but we got next week. So as we understand this and the way that Christianity is to think, see, it seems some of this, you're going, oh yeah, this is easy. I've always thought this way, the good side. Some people are, I can just sense it, are struggling with this. How does it apply to my life? And I want us over time to become intelligent, smart, logical. Maybe you can come to some different conclusions. That's fine. But think through it. Don't be a herd of sheep. I was at a place called Hope. I don't know if it's the last time, maybe the time before that, we touched on Darwinism. I'm going to provoke you. You ready? So get ready. I'm going to step on your toes. And y'all, those that were there, you might remember this. I said, don't you dare, if you believe in Darwinism, come to me and tell me that murder and rape is wrong. You have no moral basis to say that. Because Darwinism is survival of the fittest. And what's the strongest will evolve. And there is no moral law. So as Christians, we need to wake up and align our spirits, our thoughts, our ideas with the Bible. And you'll find yourself gaining authority. You'll find yourself gaining confidence. You'll find yourself gaining strength and not be schizophrenic and being pulled this way and that. I don't know what time we started, but I think it's a good time to start. But I'm telling you, Jeremiah 29:11, the ones they always do in May at graduations. Have you ever noticed that every year? And they go, what's your favorite Bible verse? You have a hope and a future. You only have a hope and a future if you don't believe that. You have a hope and future, but you may not get there if you believe that. And so I'm telling you, you have a hope and a future. And He'll make you a victor no matter how bad your past was. And you have a calling on your life that was put into you when that physical egg and sperm came together in a physical DNA. Just as Adam and Eve did not come alive even when He created them till He breathed on them. He breathed on that physical egg and sperm that came together and became an egg. He breathed on it. He breathed spiritual DNA into you. That is cool. More powerful than you ever imagined. And you are created in His image. You're not, chimps are not created in His image. Can't you have both? No. I can't tell you how many Christians, most of them believe in evolution. It's a cop-out. It's an intellectual cop-out, and it's not knowing your Bible. Now, if you believe that way, that's fine. We can have some fun talks, and you can believe whatever. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to slam you. But you do. It's hard to be created in His image. Let's stand. Love you guys.